Man, let's bring in Trista live from.
When is Trista's
man,
birthday?
this isn't the Pacific Northwest. We're going. Hold
it
on.
Is. Whoops.
Oh, my bad. Oh. My bad. Hang on. Hang on, TK. There she is.
It is. This is just the.
What are you at the White House?
Wow. No, this is just the office space. It's just one of the conference rooms.
Okay. Sports will be.
It looks good.
Oh, it looks great. Yeah, that's fire. That's fire. What's up, homie?
What's up? I like that T-shirt.
Oh yeah, that's Player Society right there.
That's the kind of one you put in the dry cleaning, huh?
100%.
Yeah, that's this is one of those ones you don't mess around with.
I have a gripe with dry cleaners.
Okay.
There is latent, sorry guys, sorry Chatty House, most of you are men, but there is latent misogyny in the dry cleaning business.
Okay.
You ask them, hey, how much for a, don't do that. You ask them how much to dry clean a shirt. And they'll say, men's shirt or women's shirt? You go, let's go with men's first, $3. Okay, let's go with women's shirt, $9. And I say, why is that? And they go, we don't have machines that are a woman's size that easily press and make it all crispy. We have to do it by hand. And to that I say, BS, I don't like that. And it feels like I'm getting charged more because my body is small. And there's no men that are as small as me. There's no little short kings out
TK,
there.
Wow. Wow.
What did you say?
He said Stephen Brown, who is a loyal member of our Chatty House, who claims to be 6'5".
He's 5'4".
Anyway.
I don't know. You are small, though, TK. So is the gripe that they don't have a small dry cleaning machine? Or... like, because if you were a woman of the bigger variety, would they be able to just?
I don't know. I don't know if they would put it in the, but they're like women's shirt, $9.
Huh.
Men's shirt, $3.
I understand. That would piss me off.
I'm like, what? So I was going to take some dry cleaning in for Summer League, and now I got to go to Vegas in order to do it because Vegas doesn't do me like that. The only place where they're like, you know.
Vegas.
I'm a little confused. What machine that they have doesn't do something for smaller clothes? You would think that would be the case. Oh, our machine, it doesn't fit bigger
clothes.
Well,
if the thing is wider, right? If like the pieces of metal that or whatever it is on there that steams it is wider and it's a small shirt, then it won't fit in there. It'll be too small to fit inside that machine. Yeah, so only the BBLs can.
Oh, well.
$3.
Bruh, we saw this young lady at C-Tech on the way back home, and it couldn't have been real. Like, it was so, like, disproportionate. I have never seen one that, there was just no way.
There is no way.
And it was like... how come no one stopped you from this? I didn't spot it. Just for the record, it wasn't me.
Well, you're not blind.
Well, no, but I mean, I'm not going to bring it up. And
Why not? Katie's cool enough for you to bring it up.
Well, she would, but Katie spotted it quick and was like, there's no way that's real. And I looked over and I'm like, oh, God damn it. And I love how we've gone from women pointing out fake boobs to women pointing out a fake ass.
Yeah.
And the fact that a fake ass is a thing is just incredible.
That's crazy to me. Fun fact, I got fat in high school trying to get thicker.
Well, okay, all right, break this down. What are we talking about? What are you talking about?
I don't think I was just, my proportions didn't work, right? Like, I'm naturally, like, a size, like, if I'm, you know, I've got, like, little wrists and little shoulders and stuff, you know? My frame shouldn't hold, like, doesn't really hold 140.
Okay.
It's too much.
Yeah.
And I was probably 105, and then all of a sudden I'm, like, you know, less cardio, more spoonfuls. And I got up to like 137, 138, and I was like a size 6, size 7, size, you know, probably 7 was the highest I ever was. But it was like cheeks galore, just
and to be clear, when she said cheeks, she was talking about her face.
Yeah,
she was talking about her face.
Just, I got a really bad haircut that made me look like Barbara Walters. I wore one of those like little mohair sweaters that was like made my cheeks even redder. It's really one of the more scarring periods of time in my life. All in service of trying to be a thick girl.
Do we have readily available pictures of thick Trista?
I would never show anyone this.
You would show me?
Maybe. In college, I was like still kind of on that time, and I was drinking, which I obviously don't do now. And if you look at my nose, it looks like I have gotten a nose job because of how like sharp it is. And like, it's like almost bulbous in college, like a waterlogged nose.
Bulbous.
Huh. Yeah, bulbous.
How tall are you, Trista? How tall are you?
5'5".
Yeah. Somebody was asking me the other day. I said, I think she's about 5'4".
5'5" on the nose. 165.
With or without shoes?
Without shoes.
Okay. She's a small forward with shoes.
Small forward with shoes. Hey, anyway, that's soapbox.
That's great. This is just so much fun. I love when you're
here. We're just getting right into it.
No, it's good.
It's July 8th.
It's good. This is what we do. Well,
and my mom made fun of me because I was also wearing really tight jeans. Like, you guys know, one of the reasons that I don't wear.
Trista with the apple bottoms, with the baby fat.
Tight jeans is because I'm terrified of any, like, you know, cuts around the waist from the band or anything, like getting all, like, you sit in the wrong place, just discomfort. Anyway, I was still wearing jeans that look painted on, and that was the style back then. And my mom said, now if she's listening, she's gonna be like, you always bring this up. It's the one thing I always bring up that she said that scarred me. She said, you look like you're trying to fit 10 pounds of potatoes in a 5-pound bag.
No.
Just lumps.
Mama Crick.
It was just so sad. I mean, the whole thing was sad.
Well, the glow up is real.
The glow up. I do look better at 39 than I did at 29.
It's a blessing.
And at 19. Oh,
same.
It's a blessing.
I guess that's absolutely accurate.
Was TK looking like, was that Alicia Silverstone in Hustle and Flow?
No.
No, it was not.
Alicia Silverstone was the girl from Clueless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was in Hustle and Flow?
Oh, I don't remember.
We're not doing that. That's the girl who looks like she's on meth. Taryn Manning?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, not Alicia Silverstone.
No.
Alicia still, I still think is okay. Bad.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Yeah, she ain't never
left. Yeah, Alicia's still bad.
She ain't never left. She ain't never left.
TK getting ready for her annual trip to Las Vegas. First of all, before we dive into Vegas and some of the things going on around the NBA, and perhaps more specifically, all of the things that aren't going on around the NBA, KC said Breonna Stewart was trash earlier.
Do you
agree?
don't listen to her.
I don't believe you said that.
I'll tell you what I did say though. I asked the question.
He did ask, and he did preface it with, this is probably a bad take.
Yeah.
And we lightly pressured him into saying it. And
hear me when I say, like, I didn't preface this either. With like, what we're saying, right? Like, the question was, is Breonna Stewart a little overrated? That doesn't mean she's bad. That doesn't mean she's not a Hall of Famer. But when I hear people talk about Breonna Stewart, I hear sometimes people put her in that category with Diana. And I said, every time I watch Stewie play, I'm usually left a little underwhelmed, which doesn't make any sense because the numbers are always there. The accolades are always there. Like, the resume's there. Everything's there. I don't know why when I see her, I'm like, yeah, she's good. But I'm never in awe of watching her play.
I think I get why you might think that. And I think she's not a particularly loud player in terms of her buckets aren't loud. I think I think Caitlin Clark is the loudest scorer, just based on the type of, and the loudest dime thrower as well. Like, just very risky, very bravado. And I think that's kind of what makes her unique. Arike is also a very loud player. Paige is a very, like, I think there's reasons that people will tune into Paige more than Breonna Stewart, but Paige is kind of like a, has very quiet games. Sabrina has quiet games. I think Jonquel is a bit more loud because you don't expect someone that looks like her to be pulling up from 30, right, as a center. So I understand why you would say that, but I think anytime you talk about a two-time MVP, I think actually Breonna Stewart might be underrated. I think she might be underspoken about.
That's, I mean, that's fine. It,
yeah, Kenny.
All of this kind of, I was watching, I was telling Damian, I was watching Storm Liberty at like 1 a.m. the other night. And if you saw the game, the Storm kind of pulled away from the Liberty in Brooklyn. And I was like, where's Stewie at? She was on the floor. She was there. She was
like, he's calling Stewie Zach LaVine.
And you know another thing, you know, another thing that
Zach LaVine isn't bothering anybody.
He really isn't.
It was not even necessary to bring his name.
This is very unfair for me to do, but you know, one thing that kind of sticks with me a little bit with Breonna Stewart, so unfair because she's one of the greatest to ever do it. She looked terrified in that game five last year of the finals.
She did. So did Sabrina. I think both of them took a big hit in how they performed in the finals last year.
Yeah.
And Stewie got a lot of generous calls from the refs.
The most generous one in WNBA history.
And like that, and the way that she, that was multiple games in a row too, that she had been gifted some things and she traveled. And that wasn't called. Anyway, if that's sticking in your mind for either one of them, and maybe even with Sabrina was hurt, so you can be like, oh, I'm going to discount this. But yeah, like Stewie did not perform well against the Lynx at all.
She's one of the all-timers, though. It's just a visual thing, I guess. I don't know. She's great.
Her body's a little awkward as well.
Oh, though, like, we were talking about this, like, centers versus guards. She's that long, lengthy, you know, built like Rebecca Lobo, but
it's just like, whoa.
She reminds me of Dirk, like, the way she plays and, like, where she operates at. It reminds me of Dirk.
That's a good point.
What is going on in the NBA right now? Specifically, why is nothing going on in the NBA right now?
Oh, I think we're a little tired, all of us. You know, I kind of want it to settle down. We got the finals. We had 7 games of that. And all of a sudden, boom, we got the draft. And all of a sudden, boom, we got free agency. We got full day of like lots of moves and flurries. And like now we've got some of the most unprecedented waving stretches and buyouts. Like the number one overall pick gets bought out. You got Dame getting waved and stretched. And so, yeah, I think at this point, what is there left to do? More trades?
Well, I mean, restricted free agency is at a standstill. There's a, you know, an interesting situation going on with Jonathan Kuminga and the Golden State Warriors. You have Josh Giddey in Chicago. I'm sure there's a couple I'm missing, but I think I would probably call those the two prime restricted free agents of the class. And it's just, it's kind of bizarre. It's what I feel like is happening is the Warriors, I don't know how Chicago feels about Giddey. We're not there covering them the same way. Obviously the Warriors are close enough. We cover them pretty closely. And they're so, this at least particular situation seems to be pretty closely tied to Sacramento, but we know the Warriors don't want Jonathan Kuminga. I don't know how Chicago feels about Josh Giddey. Chicago might just be like, yeah, test the market, dog. And the market is not there for anybody. And Kuminga, I don't know how this Kuminga situation ends for him or for the Golden State Warriors.
I think that there's this issue with the CBA. And I think we can probably just stop right there. And that can be an evergreen statement.
Yeah, facts.
But there's just a lot of reluctancy to sign the non-obvious players. And I think restricted free agency is going to be the spot that gets squeezed the most, because what really incentivizes teams to pay out money is when they know that the money next year is getting into a larger and larger pot. And the fact that they got this huge amount of money from the television rights deals from NBC and Amazon, ESPN, and then the estimated increases of the salary cap are not commensurate with that large TV deal, I think it's scaring the hell out of teams, because if you're planning for a 10% increase every year, and then they tell you, actually, it's what they just did, it's going to be 7%. Well, that over time, because you're building, even if it's 10 the next year, it just has an exponential effect, right? If it's 10% off of 110, that's way better than 10% off of 107, and that increases out 5 to 7 years. And some of these deals are 4 or 5 years long. So how am I supposed to project what to pay Jonathan Kuminga when the first estimate is 3% wrong and I don't have any more information moving forward?
Do you – somebody asked this earlier in the show. Do you feel like the new CBA has been good, bad, or it's too early to tell?
I think it's a little column A, column B, and column C. You know, I think there's a lot of things that I like about it, which is like no sustained super team. You can't just go out and buy things and think that that's just going to keep you ahead of everybody else. And I think we all kind of like that, because then the teams that build organically and with their minds and not their pocketbooks, they're able to succeed in ways that we couldn't imagine, like with the Indiana Pacers, for example. And you look at, for example, the OKC Thunder. It's almost like Sam Presti has been knowing that this CBA was coming 5, 6 years ago, when he just keeps collecting draft picks and having players that are under really reasonable contracts. And then you see the other drunk GMs, and I always credit Tim Connelly because he's awesome, but Tim Connelly way overpays for players and doesn't negotiate really with them. And then what that leads to is, well, now you can't sign Nickeil Alexander-Walker. So I think you just have to be really smart with your cap management now, where back in 2016, we all know that one. That's when Portland decided to pay Evan Turner and Alan Crabb and everybody. I mean, that was like probably the worst moment for that current CBA, and probably what informed future CBA agreements. But then what's bad is that there's elements of like, well, we're worried about the tax, not because of any other reason, but we're just going to lose draft picks. Or a player wants to leave, but because of teams in that second apron, you have to have a 7-team trade in order to get that done. And there has to be teams that are basically wastelands to just dump your garbage players that are making a lot of money to Brooklyn. And that's basically what they are now, is just like the dump of the NBA, which, to make the math work, it feels like the math is really complicated now to get deals done.
But the math is, so is it the aprons that's complicating it? Because math has always been difficult.
So now you can't go, like, it has to be one for one. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot be a dollar over. So if you're Phoenix and you're trading Kevin Durant away, that number needs to be exact. And if that team that you're trading with is in the first or second apron, they also have restrictions in terms of how much they can take back. So then you need a third team, and then that third team has to give you something back. Can't just take it, right? And so what does that look like? And that gets really complex when you can't say, all right, we're going to trade Kevin Durant, and then we can take back 11 cents on every 10, you know, $1.10 for every dollar. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, it's a dollar or 99 cents or less. Yeah.
And one of the things that we had talked about earlier as well is it may create, not this year, but maybe 2 years into this thing, it may create a situation that you're going to start taking away what a lot of people love about the NBA and what really helps the NBA is just the talk around the league, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because if we, you know, if this is not a one-off and this is how summers go, you know, part of being excited about the NBA for a lot of people is trying to figure out what's next, who's going where, like what moves are being made. And if we get into a point where this is just life with this new CBA where it's going to be pretty uneventful, you know, come free. It's not a big deal that free agency started or anything else like that. That might, you know, I don't know if monetarily they'll take a hit, but just interest-wise, that might.
Interest-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to see a lot more of, and it makes sense. It's sad, but it makes sense why you're seeing players get waived and why, like, you're seeing players like Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, and even a number one overall pick is – like that amount of salary is great when the league is drunk and you can move players for a package of other players that don't exactly match. But when you have those guys, 40, 50, 60, now going to be $75 million on your books, that's incredibly difficult to move. And now you're like close to the tax level that like implements all kinds of more restrictions. So it's like, well, it's better for us in the short term if we think we can compete to just waive a guy and stretch that contract out over 5 years instead of 2 years so that we're not having $55 million on our books. We have $22 million on our books. Mm-hmm. Or a DeAndre Ayton, we can't – there's no market for him. No one wants to pay him that much money. The market for him is actually $8 million. That's what it is today because that's what he's getting. But we can't get rid of him. So it's better for us than keeping him on our roster – clogging up spots, being sort of a cancer-ish. And so we just wave them.
TK, I got to cover her. Yeah, I was like, I think TK about to sneeze or cough or something. And I saw her. She might be dying. Look, Trista, the agreement is if you die, you die on the air. So don't black out the camera. Don't do anything. If you got to go, you got to go in front of the chatty house. We'll get you help as quickly as possible, but those are the rules. We've all agreed to them.
Call 911.
No, we got you. We'll call, but you know we're gonna get the moment viral. Yeah,
absolutely,
you know, we got to do
COE.
It.
COE.
We got to do what we got to do.
Over everything.
We gotta
dog
do we
gotta puppy
do.
Tries to resuscitate dying.
Oh, look at that cutie! Goodness gracious! How do you think this Kuminga situation ends? Because there is you talk about what he's worth, what the market says he's worth, but you also have the uncomfortable reality that Steve Kerr appears to dislike this person. I don't imagine that he feels glowingly about Steve Kerr either. And you have, you just have a lot going on there, and it's Golden State, and you really never know what they're going to do in these types of situations.
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, it feels like...
Do you think he's a good ball player? Like, do you think he's worth a strong offer sheet, a good dollar figure?
I can't really. Here's the thing with Golden State. We don't really know what their players are that they've drafted in the two timelines era. We know that James Wiseman inside the Golden State development system was a miss. Then he has gone elsewhere, and we know that in the NBA as a whole, he is a miss. We see that Jordan Poole inside the Golden State development system next to Steph Curry is a hit. And next in the NBA as a whole, he's maybe a sixth man on the worst roster in basketball, or maybe he's a piece on a team that's trying to, you know, do something, I guess, New Orleans, you could say that. So I don't know what Kuminga is because I don't really know how to assess Golden State as a development arm. They haven't done a great job. Steve Kerr hasn't done a great job. The people in charge of like the assistant coaches to develop talent haven't done great. So who's to say that in a system that has great development, like at OKC, for example, that we know that they have a history of turning guys into more, right? Like Jalen Williams is a lot more than we thought he was going to be when he was drafted. What could Jonathan Kuminga be? I think his absolute ceiling from what I remember looking at him as coming out of the G League Ignite was Kawhi, right? Like he has athletic tools. He's like very powerful, has like all this elite raw athleticism. but his mindset's just really not very smart on the basketball court. Remember when we were watching the playoffs and he was just immediately taken off, just turnover, missed defensive assignment. I remember somebody told me he like missed like a mandatory camp event because he was in Africa taking the championship trophy around. Like, he's just kind of a knucklehead. But I don't know what that would be like under a different system. I have no idea what he could command. I have no idea what he could turn into be. But I don't think he's going to turn into anything good in Golden State. Hmm.
If you were the Warriors, what would you do in this situation? Like, obviously the Kings' offer is out. You can bring him back. Like, how would you play this situation if you're the Warriors?
What is the Kings' offer? I don't remember.
There's a report. No, there's a report, a rumor. There is conversation that the Kings offered. Well, this gets a little dicey. So it's Saric and Devin Carter. Those are the players. Dario Saric and Devin Carter. And then it gets a little murky from there. Draft compensation has ranged from a protected first round pick to 2 second round picks. So the Warriors asking for 2 first-round picks. I don't know how much of this is based in reality, but it was out there pretty tough late last week, and Kenny and I heard it from multiple people around the NBA that weren't associated with Sacramento, but again, I don't know what's real and what's fake anymore. It's like the butt at the airport all over again. Like, this, I don't know what's real.
They're going to want a player that can contribute, I think.
Well,
that's Devin.
I hope. Devin might fit them well.
Yeah, Devin could be the new Gary.
Devin could be like a Pajemski sort of guy, like not in the same type of game, but just like, I didn't think much of him, and now he's sort of like, if Guy Santos can contribute, then certainly you could get Mike Dunleavy Jr. to imagine a world where Devin Carter can contribute. So a young player that you're not really sure what he is yet. He was injured for most of the year. Saric is negligible. He's just there.
Saric, like, in our opinion, he's just more.
Yeah. Yeah. So not a Saric fan. Like, I mean, pop back there. Pop back there like,
hell no.
Like, pop back there like, did you say Saric? On our dubs? No chance. No chance, pal.
Absolutely not. And I think there has to be some... I think Golden State, excuse me, Dario Saric isn't even a top of conversation anymore.
Look at that face. Goodness gracious.
Excuse me. He's getting a little aggressive. And as the balls are dropping, he's starting to get it,
it happens.
He's starting to do his thing. We got to get him neutered soon. Pause. So they're going to want, I think, a first-round pick. Don't think that they're going to get a first-round pick. And that will take – I think that will take them – it's almost like the Phoenix Suns and Kevin Durant. It's like, what you think this player is worth is not really in alignment with what you evaluate him to be for your own team. You're just trying to finesse us. We know you don't like Jonathan Kuminga. Otherwise, you would have paid him an extension summers ago and given him some role on the team. So – don't tell us we deserve to give you a first-round pick and a player of value, because that's not what you would pay for Jonathan Kuminga at all.
Right. Right.
So I think it'll be a rude awakening for Golden State. It might last a while. I don't know when the restricted deadline is.
How would you handle that if you were the Warriors, though?
If I was them, I would just get rid of them as fast as I could. Just survey the landscape, see what the value is, call other GMs that have no interest in Kuminga, but just like test the market in terms of like, what would you have just like generally paid and get the deal done. I just like, let's not prolong this because it's very clear that the divorce is coming. It just kind of feels like Joe Lacob wants to be too cute, in my opinion.
Do you believe if they sign him to whatever they sign him to, just because they're trying to save face, there'd be a better type of deal when the season starts, or when he can be traded during the season?
They'd have to play him a lot of minutes.
We know they hate doing that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, the longer this stretches out, the tougher it's going to be to trade him.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's 6 months. And yeah, well, it's 6 months. Isn't it 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
And if you get to February and you sign him too late, you're not going to be able to trade him before the trade deadline.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you have to keep him on the roster for another year. It changes what you do with your rotations.
And if things aren't going well, you have another... You have another uncomfortable situation with your locker room. Mm-hmm. Like, because we questioned, like, what exactly will the Warriors look like next year? Obviously, they took a big turn when Jimmy Butler got there, at least, you know, regular season-wise. Is that how they start the season? Do they start the season playing as well as they ended the season last year? Or was that kind of a, well, shout out to the podcast. Was that kind of a heat check? And now we're into this new season, and it's like, yeah, that's not what we are.
When has Jimmy Butler been healthy throughout the regular season?
Yeah, I don't know.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah, so I think we got great Jimmy Butler minutes because Jimmy Butler had like was on ice. He was sitting out. He wasn't playing. There was him not giving maximum effort, which we know – Jimmy Buckets is always giving. He was mailing it in Miami from the very beginning.
55 games last year, 60 the year before. Oh, man, 64 prior to that, 57, 52, 58.
It's a 60-game guy at max.
Yeah, and even then, he was about to break down in these playoffs.
Yes. And he had already had that layoff, right? He had already had that right before the trade deadline. He wasn't playing. So he should have been as much more fresh. He's just not a durable player anymore.
Well, he's 36. I mean, I stalled him out a little bit. Like, he's in tremendous shape. Like, you never look at Jimmy Butler and question his, you know, program or anything. But he's 36 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just the type of game he has is not the type of game that ages very well. He's right. A relentless, it's like a Russell Westbrook, a relentless downhill guy.
Mm-hmm.
The joints just don't last that long pause when you're putting all that strain on them. Yeah. So
when your game is built off explosiveness.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a physical wing player. Yeah.
It's not like he's a finesse catch and shoot 3-point shooter who can be in the corner, like maybe be off ball defense. You sort of hide him. No, he's known for his point of attack defense, multiple steals per game, getting out in a transition downhill. Maybe that changes with Steph. Maybe he completely transforms his game based on not needing to be that guy. But at this point, I don't know how he changes.
But
his
spot. Feels like they still need him to be that. Because they don't have anyone like that.
No, when it comes down to it and people are, you know, teams are trapping or blitzing Steph, you need that burst. And if he could give you that burst in doses, then maybe. But I don't think this is the team going anywhere. But with Jimmy, they really have no use for Jonathan Kuminga.
Mm. This is fascinating.
It is.
It's fascinating for so many reasons. Because I think 2 years ago, 3-4 teams... 5 teams would have sent him an offer sheet.
Mm-hmm. That's why you have to trade these guys earlier. You know, you cannot wait until the last minute. You if you don't absolutely believe that this player is going to be in your system long term, and a player peaks, big 37-point game, couple of big ones in the middle of the seat, like get on the phone right then.
To your point, so when they didn't give him the contract extension, the rookie extension, they should have been trying to trade him that summer.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I've said with this Warriors situation. I don't think they have a good move in this because of how they've done things in the past with Kuminga. You don't have a positive move. I think all the moves they make at the very least will be perceived as a losing move. So why don't you do the one that allows you to get – right now, at least, what is the best offer you can get? Like, you're getting a young former lottery pick, 2 draft picks, and then this salary dump. Like, I know it seems like that's a terrible deal, but that's the best you could do right now. I would think long and hard about taking it. Pause.
Oh, we're just pause. God damn. Oh, my God. Hey, ref! Hey! Hey! Oh, the ref in there cutting clips.
What'd he say?
Review the audio. Review the audio.
Go back a minute.
Man.
Need an instant replay.
Oh, we need it. Hey, bro.
I thought I could trust KC for a minute.
Hey, that was tough. Man. Goodness gracious. Trista get here. We just lose our damn mind. Wow.
Russ Dog said, play on.
Play on nothing, Russ. Sit down. Sit down, Russ. No, hang on. Wait a second. I think we got a...
Not on this show. Yeah. That's disgusting.
The officials have reviewed the play.
Oh, man. Lord have mercy. Come on, man. I'm just talking about the contract. I'm talking about the CBA, man. Yeah. Come on, man.
I was focused on the wrong area on the field.
Man, goodness gracious. A couple things. We blew past the break so long ago. Your boy Kevin Pritchard said, he said he was shocked Miles Turner left and they were in negotiations. And then all of a sudden, Shams tweets, and that's how we learned he was gone.
Damn.
I don't know what the question is, but that's crazy.
All those days, because it was like death, taxes, Miles Turner on the trade block, right? For years, since I started the original Heat Check, which was this league. That was early 2021. Miles Turner comes up in the trade discussions many times. Prior to Tyrese getting there, I know this for a fact, the Pacers organization was lukewarm on Miles. Tyrese gets there, they sign him to a very team-friendly extension, which is like, I've never seen an extension quite like that. It was like, we'll give you the money up front right now, and then it'll descend. So I have to imagine, then I don't know if you guys remember this, but in the middle of the playoffs, Miles Turner posted like penned a, someone did, 5,000 word type of a thing about how he had found his home again and how, but him really being in trade talks as much as he had been was affecting his mental health. So when this is what I think happened. When he got quote unquote lowballed, which the Pacers surveyed the landscape and they're like, no one's going to be able to afford your ass except for us, right? This is what the market will pay. And so we'll pay you a dollar over that or whatever. And then the Bucks did the inconceivable, the illogical, which is we're going to waive and stretch Dame. I don't think you waive and stretch Dame unless that agreement is already in place.
Yeah.
You don't make that move unless there's a player that you're going to sign right then. And I think Miles was like, you know what? You had your chance to do right by me the first time. I'm the longest tenured player in your organization. You guys have done me dirty this whole time, and I've stuck by. And I thought we were in a good place, and then you gave me 4 for $96. And they said, Kevin Pritchard said, we would have matched the Bucks offer. And he said, at this point, I think in his mind, he's like, at this point, it's not even worth all that.
Mm.
Like, if you're going to match it, is this restricted free agency or is this free agency?
Because
you're basically like, oh, go test the market and see what you can get. We already looked around and we saw everybody else was broke. So this is what you got to take. So take it and be happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if that's not my logic. I will have information on this. In a few days.
We
headed to Las Vegas
soon. That was a touchdown soon.
We headed to Las Vegas, baby.
Need to know if that's what occurred, because it is insane to not get back to your employer and be like, hey, I'm getting offered this job for this amount of money. Do you want to match it or exceed it? Before I take it, do you want to match it or exceed it?
Wasn't it like before game 5 that Shams had to tweet and like, yeah, Pacers are about to go over the tax for the first time to bring Miles Turner back. Like, it was so definitive. Maybe there was just a lot going on. I didn't pay attention to it right. But it was so definitive. I thought he had signed the deal.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if Tyrese Halliburton doesn't tear his Achilles, they might pay him 110, 4 years. I think you're basically saying next year is a wash. We're not competing really at all. And you know that. We all know that. So, and we need you really to step up. I think also Miles' finals performance was really bad. And so that affects your perception. You really don't want to do a deal right after what you came off of, which was just duck butter. It was just buns, right? Like, it was just trash vomit. And like, so now we have to put more offensive responsibilities on Miles. And really, Miles is only good because of Tyrese Haliburton. I believe that's what the Pacers feel. Is like, let's see what you do when you're not with Steph Curry. Let's see what you do when you're not with Tyrese Haliburton. Because we know what you were before you got here.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I'd never heard that term before. It wasn't. I looked it up.
See.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, because I'm just not going to recite the definition of that term on the air, but that was a new one for me, at least. I guess my innocent ears.
Okay.
So I think that's, they're like, well, we know what you're truly worth.
Sure.
Because we have all the data points.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So there you go.
Pre-Tyrese, post-Tyrese, and now we don't have Tyrese again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, the reason they're not willing to go into the tax. And then on top of that, Herb Simon is like a million. I think he's in his 90s. And I don't think he wants to pay the tax not to compete.
Sure.
That's one owner I didn't know.
That's, yeah, me neither.
Good knowledge by you, Trista.
I thought they were going to go a different route, honestly. I thought they would have brought in a veteran point guard for a year. Get us through, see what we could do, and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't even have a guard.
Why are you yelling at me? I know that. I just thought they would at least try it. Well, now that they lost Miles, it doesn't even matter.
What are you going to do? The Milwaukee Bucks are so dumb. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What are you guys thinking is going to happen with Miles Turner, Giannis, and no point guard, and Kevin Porter Jr. at the one? You didn't even go out and get a Tyus Jones or a Trey Jones or any Jones, no Dylan Jones, nothing. What are we doing here?
It just
doesn't make sense.
I have no idea.
When do you leave for Vegas?
Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m.
Oh, let's go. All right. Well, you know.
Staying at a nice little posh hotel inside. There's the dog.
Hey. Okay. I guess we'll just never get to commercial break.
He's going.
Okay. Well, Trista's going to Vegas, and that dog is getting its balls cut. It's a tough time.
No.
It's a tough time for everybody.
Hey, let him have one experience before you do it, man. Come on, man.
No, don't do that. That could be a costly experience. Don't do that. You could be paying
that. I saw the red rocket for the first time from him. I was like, shocked.
Oh, man.
No.
This was a crazy segment, bro.
We'll be checking in with you in Vegas, TK.
All right. See y'all.